You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Take control of your outdoor space with Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. The Pump and Go container is ready and easy to use. With the Pump and Go sprayer, you don't need to mix your own liquid, and you get up to 10 minutes of continuous spray. Save big on Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number two of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason join us at 7:30. Looking very much forward to that. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joining us at 8. Trey Wallace, we'll get into the Vols with him at 8:30, and then Adam Vingan at 9:30 as well. So a loaded show today here on Robbie and Rexrode. Joe, I was scrolling Twitter a few minutes ago, and I look and see that you, while doing a radio show, have also posted an article about the Tennessee Titans and the trading deadline and maybe some positions to look at.
You're all over my Twitter account today.
I'm a stalker.
Yeah. Well, it's the trading deadline is coming. It's November 3rd. It's a big day.
Wait. Where did you write this piece?
What's that?
Where did you write this piece?
Where? Oh, at theathletic.com.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. Oh,
did you know
there we go.
Joe writes for The Athletic.
So I'd like to promote a couple things on theathletic.com real quick.
Good. You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I know you are, man. Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up there.
Yeah.
Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexrode.
Gets me fired up every time.
What's the song? What is the song?
He asks that every time, too.
What's that?
You do ask that. Evelyn King, I think it is. Shame.
Yeah. I ask you every time.
Yeah. You do. It's from the movie Low Down Dirty Shame, which is a great movie by the Wayans Brothers. By the way, if you've never seen that movie.
Pretty good.
Like, it is a very amazing movie. Wayans Brothers back in the 90s were dropping some classics. And this is one of them. Low Down Dirty Shame.
Don't be a menace.
Don't be
South
a menace.
Central while drinking your juice.
Don't be a menace is one of my favorites. Mo Money. I do love some Mo Money.
Yep.
I love that. And I love Low Down Dirty Shame.
See, I haven't seen Low Down Dirty Shame.
I love Blank Man.
Yeah.
they make some amazing movies, man. What can I say?
They had a run. Yeah, so thanks for that, though. I appreciate
You're welcome.
That. Very nice. So, but yeah, basically what I came up with five tackles. And they actually aren't all left tackles. They don't have to trade necessarily for a left tackle. They could trade for a cheap right tackle and just to, I mean, basically, like, here's the question. Is Isaiah Wilson going to give you what you need? Because you can't – if they have an injury Sunday, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to have to play him, and I don't think that's going well for you right now. Hey, maybe he'll come out there and prove everybody wrong. Mike Vrabel did say the other day that he's gotten in shape and he's responded well in this time that he's sort of been, you know, not part of the team. Obviously, a lot of things have gone on here, but he was on the COVID list twice, once for a long time. So if he's responded well, maybe he's closer than you might think, but I've got to think it will take a little time here. Can he get there this year? Well, if that's the case, then you have a third tackle, and you could be okay. But honestly, at this point, I've got to be thinking, if I'm John Robinson, about trying to go get somebody. So I threw out some different possibilities because you could go teams that are trying to dump salary. So we talked to Charles Robinson yesterday. He mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Okay, well, what about Jason Peters? Jason Peters is a 38-year-old guy on injured reserve with a toe injury right now. He got a deal for $8 million sweetened because they had to move him to left tackle. He was actually playing guard. He's played all over the place. That would be the Eagles could be motivated to dump that salary and not ask for a lot. The Titans have 9 picks. That's something to keep in mind for 2021. The Titans have 9 picks. They have a compensatory pick because of free agency. When you lose more than you sign, you get a comp pick. Should be a third rounder, you know, with Conklin leaving. So they do have more capital than normal to use here. And I've got a few other guys on here, too. Riley Reiff is another one. That would be the Vikings. Vikings were about to cut him. Okay, the guy took a pay cut of $5 million so that they could sign Yannick Ngakoue. They're going to cut him. You, if you're the Titans, you could take him on. They have about $8 million in cap space. He's making a base salary of about $6 this year, and then cut him. Because next year, he's in the last year of $58.75 million. But he's playing great. That's the thing about Riley Reiff. He's playing great football at 31. Would you want to do something like that? You could have a legit left tackle come in for this year, take yourself, you know, you'd have to move some things around, and then again, you're probably cutting the guy after the year. I mean, that's the brutality of this league. But, I mean, look, if you think you're this close, you're 5-0 right now, and you have this unbelievable offense, first of all, we ask about Tyson Brailoe. Can he hold it down at left tackle? Then we
former
talk about
second round pick, by the way. I was unaware of that until I think yesterday. He's in second round, huh?
Right.
How about that?
And the brutal Atlanta Falcons just cut him in the offseason. I mean, hey, sometimes people go to a different place and they get motivated by that and they play well. He could hold it down and you could be fine. Isaiah Wilson could be fine. But right now, I think there's a lot of question about that position, especially you just have to assume injuries in this league.
You do, and Isaiah Wilson has shown you nothing yet to give you confidence that he's ready. Now, like you said, Vrabel had some good things to say about him the other day, and usually Vrabel doesn't really go that route with players, so that tells you that at least maybe Isaiah Wilson is making some good progress after he got off the COVID list. But, I mean, he's a guy right now that I think is still a ways away from being able to come in and contribute on a consistent basis. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, do not trade for a left tackle. We have a first-round pick. It's time for him to contribute. Swing Dennis Kelly to left tackle and put Isaiah Wilson at right tackle because right now it's looking like a wasted first-round pick. What do you make about the idea of swinging Kelly over?
Yeah, well, I asked Vrabel about that the other day, and you know, he said, yeah, anything's possible. But here's the thing with that text. Is that sounds great, but if your reason for doing something is, well, we picked him the first round, he better just do it. Put him over there. That's not how you have to judge a situation. It may be that he's just not going to be ready this year. And it may be he will, but that's the question. Like, you can't just say, well, we picked him the first round. Dennis, go over there. Isaiah, trial by fire. Let's see how you do, buddy. Well, and your offense blows up because he can't do it yet.
And even if he is ready, you still need some depth there. Like, they're still pretty thin there.
Exactly.
They are one injury away from this being a huge problem. Like, if Dennis Kelly goes down, they are screwed over there.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, they've got to pick somebody up. You know, you can sign people off other practice squads. Right now they have Brandon Kemp. David Questenberry was cut earlier this year. I mean, they have to at least add to the depth for sure. And I have no idea how Brandon Kemp, undrafted free agent from Valdosta State, like, you know, how is he doing? How do they feel about him? I mean, those questions like that, that only, you know, really they know in the building. But, yeah, that's the thing. You have to assume injury. So even if Sombrailoe is ready to do this full-time, and even if Isaiah Wilson's coming on and they feel like in a few weeks, couple weeks, whatever it is, then still, so what if you get another injury there? I mean, it's there's some other guys I threw out. You can go the cheap route, like Cameron Fleming from the Giants is a guy, you know, you could get cheap. He was actually a Patriots pick in the fourth round right after Robinson left there. But, you know, one season rental, he's in the last year of his deal. I mean, it would be – so that would be a pick to bolster you basically on the right side, and that would be – that would probably mean Kelly on the left side. There's different ways you can go. You go super cheap and just – and just, you know, maybe trade like a low round pick for something like him, or you could, you know, go to some of these teams that are just totally strapped. There's a lot of NFC East possibilities. The problem for that is too, like, they should all be sellers, but like they all could win the division. So, you know,
yeah, there is that.
They're so bad. They're all so bad that they're all in it still.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in. Let me ask you guys something. Wouldn't it be safer to just leave Kelly where he is because you don't want to mess up the chemistry on the right side?
Yeah.
Just make whoever you have on the left side step up and give help over there, but not rearrange the entire line for one guy.
I think I agree with that. I think Kelly is better on the right side. We saw Kelly on the left side last year when Luan was out. And granted, it was the very beginning of Saffold's tenure too, and so there was a lot of, you know, a lot of things that just weren't very good over there, and they got better, you know, with Saffold individually, and of course him and Luan. But I think Dennis Kelly's better as a right tackle. But that's the thing. So if that's your decision, and I think that absolutely makes sense, and then Isaiah Wilson is a right tackle. He's not, like, there's no way he's going to play on the left side unless you are in utter desperation. So then again, so you've got one left tackle, and it's Tyson Brailoe. So that's where, to me, if that's your decision, and Isaiah Wilson is a depth guy, and you just hope he could help you in a pinch, again, I think there's a case to be made right there to get a left tackle to either take over or at least be, you know, give you depth behind Sobralo. So it's how it all fits together is part of the question too. You know, where do you want Kelly to be, and where are you better? I mean, it's Sobralo is, you know, we're going to find out a lot more this week. If he can get through this week and do pretty well against that defense,
you feel okay.
That bodes well.
Well, let me ask you this. We talked last week about the trading deadline and say, you know, is it possible the Titans go and pick up a receiver? Is that kind of off the table to you now, given what happened to Luan and the need there that could potentially be there on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, you could. I would think so, in part also just because, you know, I think Raymond has proved that he can be a pretty good four. You know, I think he's pretty good at the four. He can come in there and help you. And Batson is fine. I mean, shoot, Nick Westbrook, a kind from Indiana, caught
great
a two-point
footwork
conversion. Yeah. No, I mean, he's – so I think – yeah, I think if you're going to go out there and dangle a pick here for something, it's got to be there now, right?
You would think.
Yeah.
When we come back, how much pressure is on Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee after the loss against Kentucky? We'll get into that next. But first – tune in to Big Night at the Museum, where modern music masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. Some of the artists performing include Kane Brown, Miranda Lambert, and Tim McGraw. So make sure you're tuning in for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning. And Joe, we've talked a lot this week. A tough loss for the Vols over the weekend against Kentucky, 34-7. I broke it down yesterday on the Power T podcast, which you can now hear every Tuesday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I enjoyed that last
Good.
Night.
Good. I'm glad you did. Glad you did.
Yes. Well done.
Anytime I can sit there and rant about quarterbacks for 25 minutes, it's all good. We can take it there. But now the Vols, 2-2. I guess the expectation level, or really just the vibe around this program, has shifted dramatically after that loss to Kentucky on Saturday. And it wasn't just losing to Kentucky. It was the way they lost to Kentucky. I mean, just quite frankly, it reminded you of several losses they've had over the course of the past decade, where you're like, is this team ever going to get out of their own way? And I ask you this now, Joe, not as a, hey, is Jeremy Pruitt going to get fired kind of thing, because he's not. He's not going to get fired. I don't think he's in jeopardy of losing his job. He just signed an extension. He's going to be the coach. But how much pressure is on Jeremy Pruitt now to kind of turn this thing around this season, or risk losing every bit of the positive momentum they generated at the end of last year and heading into this season?
Well, certainly there's pressure. Now, the question is, where does the momentum matter? I mean, fans upset, that happens. Like you said, they just gave him an extension. I mean, he's going to get the full proper clock for a coach to show that he can build a program. So he's going to get – I mean, I guess you go into next year, and if next year went terribly, maybe he could be in some trouble at that point. But I would think that Jeremy Pruitt, you can count him for 5 years at this point, and we're going to see where he is at that point. But it's about recruiting. I mean, it's about – so you go to a place like Tennessee, and you have a lot to offer. You also have major competition for the very best players. You do have the playing time – thing to offer early, right? And so that can help you. Last year, after the Florida game, Just awful, awful. And again, we were talking about, so what's up with this guy? And, you know, it was way beyond that with some people, like, what's his buyout? Let's fire him right now. It was never going to happen. But we did a podcast with Andy Staples and David Ubben in Gainesville, right, in the post game there. And Staples brought up a great point. He's like, you know, if you are – like, if you're relying on the playing time thing in recruiting, then that's not really the guys you want. You want guys who don't care, who are like, no, I'm going to come and start. I don't care who you think you've got, you know? Like, that's the kind of recruiting that you got to do to, you know, to get where you want to get. So I do think that performance on the field, definitely, I mean, it's a part of this for recruits and sometimes is a tiebreaker. You know, his relationships and all these things that go into it. But, you know, the performance on the field, show me that you are going somewhere. Show me that with Trey Smith coming back, you know, it was this very celebrated return in this offensive line. You get Cade Mays. Show me that that's going to mean something, that you're actually going to start contending and beating top teams. So there is pressure. Yeah, I think a 4-6 – or worse this year would not be good. I would think that would hurt. Right now, Tennessee is, you know, I'm looking at Rivals rankings. I mean, they're seventh right now in the 2021 class. You know, they've got some big time commitments. If you want to look at it from an SEC perspective, Alabama 1, Florida 5, Tennessee 7. Still very early, but things are going well there. And I trust who he recruits to a lot more than the last guy.
Yes.
But, yeah, there's pressure, and that's where, like, with the quarterback conversation also, you got to understand that in that context too. I understand the fan impulse to just move on and let's see this kid and let's – but, one, you have seniors like Trey Smith on this team that you want to win for, but also, like, you can't sit here and say, well, we went 3-7, but, gosh, we got Harrison Bailey ready for next year. It's not that simple.
No, and it's – like, you can do that in the NFL. Like, if you're – I don't know, the Bengals this year, and it's a bad example because he was going to be the starter from the beginning. But you're a team in the NFL, and it's been going very poorly, and you've got a rookie quarterback that you want to get some experience and build for the future. You can do that in the NFL. It's
totally
much different. The college, I mean, you got to win. I mean, your job is on the line every year in college football. I mean, it just is what it is, and recruiting is a big part of that. So I think that's a great point. Now, still, whether that's Jarrett Garantano or that's Brian Maurer or whoever, I mean, maybe it is Harrison Bailey by the end of the year that gives you the best chance to win. I don't know. I just think that's a lot to ask for out of a kid right now, and I think the recruiting part of that, like you brought up, is a great point. That's something you got to keep in mind. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, there's pressure to win. There's pressure to win as many games as he can win this year. And look, I said it yesterday on the Power T podcast. I know people are feeling really bad right now, and Tennessee fans are down in the dumps after what happened on Saturday against Kentucky, and I get it. You should be. After this game on Saturday against Alabama, there's not a game left on that schedule they can't win. I know that's crazy. Not saying they're going to win all those games. There's not a game left on that schedule that they can't win.
Right.
This is the last one.
No, I mean, that's the thing. They could. They could be 2-3. Yeah, they're probably going to be 2-3, and probably 2-3 with a third straight lopsided score. And still, it's kind of like that's when the season starts. You know, you get to the end, you're going to have a chance to build to Florida at the end, which is the toughest remaining game. But, again, based on the defense I've seen from Florida, not unwinnable. Because I think Tennessee's defense can be better than this. Hey, maybe Jeremy Pruitt is D-line coach. Won't matter. I mean,
making the difference.
It better make some kind of a difference. There better be a positive impact from that. But I agree. I mean, the Arkansas game, huge after this game, which is just crazy to say. Bama, okay, but after Bama, Arkansas. But no, there's still a lot ahead for this team. It won't look like that. It won't feel that way to a lot of fans, and I get that. But it's a very crucial last five games on that schedule after this week. And, of course, you'd love to see them compete this week and show you some signs, and the quarterback thing is going to be – if Jared Garantano comes out at quarterback Saturday, that place will fill with booze, which I – for one thing, I feel bad for him because, again, he is still a college kid.
Unless there's a lot of Bama fans in there, then I'll probably cheer. But, yeah.
That's true. Maybe they'll offset it and he'll just think it's Tennessee fans cheering. But I mean, I think that's where the fan base is, and I understand that. I also understand if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you are looking at every single rep in practice. However, he's divvying them up this week, and you're making a decision on winning a football game and winning as many as you can win this year. And that just doesn't always align with what fans want.
And I think, to his credit, he's pretty good at that in terms of, you know, it may be more tempting to play the younger guy because the potential is there, but if he doesn't give you the best chance to win immediately, Jeremy Pruitt's been pretty good about not doing that and not going that route.
I think Harrison Bailey plays this year when it's – if it gets bad. I suppose – if it got so bad, not bottom line, but just so bad with the other guys, at some point you turn there. But to me, the likelihood of him playing is only when the season has gone off the rails more than it will be at 2-3.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I'm a true Tennessee fan. Losing to Kentucky sucks, but we are used to losing sometimes. ESPN has Alabama at a 95% chance to win, which means we got a 5% chance. I'll take it. A chance is a chance. Go Big Orange.
Show me that Jim Carrey gif from Dumb and Dumber.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. Honestly, that's 5%. That doesn't sound too bad. You know, that's funny because you think back to last year, and you said this on your podcast, but you think back to last year, and they were right there. But that was Mac Jones trying to figure things out. Mac Jones is figuring things out now.
When we come back, Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason will join us. Looking forward to that conversation. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
Yes, and you guys like to talk about my plugs. Well, here is a Joe Rexroad plug for you on FanDuel Sportsbook, because Tennessee sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook's giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. $50 free site credit. All you have to do is register and verify early. There's no deposit required. FanDuel, it's America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. I can attest to this. I played a fantasy game for the Sunday night football games Sunday. Very easy. You set your lineup. You have a salary cap. $19 right there. Boom. And unlike other sports books, when you win, FanDuel gets your cash in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do right now, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check it out for yourself. And when you register, use promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know we sent you. You verify your account, you get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Promo code Joe, $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. And, of course, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back with Derek Mason here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New England Patriots. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scheduled to be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason. So looking forward to that. It's been a tough week, tough couple of weeks for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They had their game against Missouri postponed to December 12th with a COVID outbreak they were dealing with. Did not get to the 53 that's required from a scholarship standpoint to play in that game. And Derek Mason talked a little bit yesterday. If they had to play this week, which they had their bye week originally scheduled for this week, not sure if they would be ready this week either. So some concerning news there for Vanderbilt, but hopefully by the time next week rolls around and Ole Miss comes in, they're ready and able to play in that game.
Yeah, it sounds like they should be, as long as things go as expected. Now, do things go as expected? A lot of times they don't, but right now the timing of things should work out that way, that they'd be able to play that game. Another thing about Vanderbilt's availability yesterday is we got, after Derek Mason, we got Athletic Director Candace Lee, and she had some really interesting things to say about investment, about things to come. She had some specifics on the football locker room that was going to happen. Obviously, a lot of stuff has happened this year, got it delayed, but they're expected to start on that in December. And the word she used for it was awesome. And also said that, you know, she's like, they have, obviously they have like mock-ups of it And they've been able to show that to donors, and a lot of people are getting excited about that. So also talking about, investment in football and basketball, she said. It's obvious, but, like, you know, the AD saying it, I think, is kind of notable. You know, I think Vanderbilt is obviously we know the struggles. And I think a long time of not getting that stuff done for those programs, and I think some of what we see with those programs now is – a lot of years of you probably should have gotten on that way earlier. I mean, Vanderbilt Stadium. Memorial.
Memorial Gym?
Where's the closest? Yeah, okay. That's why I messed it up. I'm like, where? There's like Memorial Stadium is like Indiana has a Memorial Stadium. Yeah, Vanderbilt Stadium, 1981. Yeah, I mean, they're connected to each
other.
They are. Yeah, give me a break.
I did.
Yeah, 1981. You
got a break from me.
Yeah. 1981, last time they did anything major there. That's crazy. But she talked about the football building, and clearly, I mean, that's a big investment, you know, like Northwestern just did one.
Theirs is ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, but again, like Northwestern
like on the lake,
it's on the lake. Chicago. It's like, I think it's $270 million, whatever it is. But also Northwestern has a lot in common with Vanderbilt, you know? And, so that's a big thing down the line. But if they do the football thing, and it's the donors, you know. I think there's a lot of potential for Vanderbilt, and it's well documented that they have in the past struggled to raise the money for athletics, in part because they've been blocked by university fundraisers. And I don't think that's the case anymore, and now it's time to, you know, to get after it and show those results. And any Vanderbilt fan right now says, yeah, okay, I've heard this for how many years, I understand that, but you know, at some point, I think things change, and I think that we may be looking at that somewhat soon.
And I think she was talking yesterday, maybe being done summer of 2021, maybe even spring.
With the locker room.
The locker room part of it, yes.
Yeah.
But that would be, I mean, getting that done and getting that construction going and getting it finished, renovating that locker room, I think that would do a lot for the morale of not only the program but the fan base.
Yes.
I mean, they're waiting to see something get done. And to be able to get that done, maybe even in the spring, I think that would go a long way towards building up some goodwill with the fan base that's been clamoring for this for, I don't know, 15 years, the last 15 years it feels like.
Yeah.
Get in there and do something with the facilities. This seems like it's a positive first step.
Right. Well, look, I mean, and of course, a fan will point out, like, well, it was supposed to be done already, and I understand that. Things did happen this year. Also, it's – worth pointing out, I think some people forget this, like Candace Lee's been on the job like a couple months now. You know, like she's been there a long time, and she was, you know, she was David Williams, you know, like top deputy basically for a lot of years, and I think handled a lot of things, but still, like, this is a couple months on the job here. And the Malcolm Turner thing, I still contend it was right for them to look outside and try to go outside the box on the hire. I still contend that guy was really smart and had a lot of potential and had a lot of vision. And some of that vision is still, you know, intact, but we obviously it all blew up and you know, whatever exactly happened, it ended, and it's embarrassing for Vanderbilt, but it's also lucky for them that they had Candace Lee there working with him and able to step in here. And, you know, even in the press conference yesterday, you know, there were some good questions about this stuff and some really good answers from her about it, too. I think that they are very motivated there to change this thing. And you're not going to do it overnight. Like you said, Robbie, you got to show something. But I think if you show that one thing, at least people can feel like, okay, they're not just saying, oh, yeah, sure, and kicking the can down the road. They really want to get this done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason. Coach, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, just stepped out of meeting rooms to the radio, so it's a good day.
Absolutely. So some big news yesterday we were just talking about, Derek, with Candace Story Lee coming out and announcing some renovations coming down the line to the facility. The football locker room could be done sometime early in 2021, maybe summer of 2021. How big of a deal is that for you, your team, and your program?
It's huge. I mean, this program has been looking forward to, renovated facilities and you know, new opportunities been for our student athletes for a long time. So this is just the beginning. We understand that right now we're in the midst of a season. We understand what's on the other side of that, but it's great for our kids who are here. It's great for recruits who will be on campus hopefully sometime this spring. Remember, we do plan on having that locker room done by spring ball. So I'm really excited. But right now, man, my head's knee-deep in SEC football as we get ready to play Ole Miss.
Yeah, so I know you talked yesterday some about this, but if you can recap for us, Derek, where are you right now with your team? How are you feeling about, people healing up, getting healthy, and hopefully being ready for Ole Miss on Halloween?
Yeah, I know we've got an open date this week, but seeing guys like Donovan Kaufman, Deshaun Jerkins, Chris Pierce, step back out there, it's good to see these dudes, and these dudes are glad to, be back. I think that's important for this football team, man. We talk about guys who play ball. They understand, where we're at. They understand what's in front of us, but they also are ready to get back to work. So by the end of this week, we'll be, closer to where we really want to be, and then early next week, we'll be full board by the time we hit the practice field on Tuesday. So for us, it's just about taking advantage of the opportunities that we have now to, talk about fundamentals, work through fundamentals, clean up some things that we've seen through our self-scout and push towards Ole Miss.
Derek, obviously this is a different year in terms of college football, and I think this could be a question for every coach around the country. What's it been like for you and your staff trying to navigate through all the mental challenges and the taxing that comes with going through a normal football season and the grind that is, but also adding on the challenges of COVID and the uncertainty of every week that comes with it? What's that grind been like for you and your staff, and you think other coaches around the country?
When you talk about, what's it been, I think you sort of utilize or use the word, and I think, we would all agree with. I mean, it's been challenging. I think the idea of, coaches are about, controlling environment. And our players are used to, process and schedule. And those, every part of what we've done has been, disrupted at some point. And in looking at that, what you look to do is in this, I know we've talked time and time again with our student athletes about, hey, man, just focusing on the things that matter, being flexible, understanding that, from day to day, man, there may be a tweak or an adjustment from test to test, from COVID test to COVID test, man, there may be an adaptation or something, where we need to pivot. But look, that's just part of the landscape now. I think everybody's dealing with it. Sports and people, outside of sports, people just living their lives are dealing with it. So I think we're privileged to play the game. And football is a privilege. And what we have to continue to do, man, is understand that we're working to get better. We're working to make a difference. We want to win ball games. We just got to continue to invest, in the things that matter to this football team and how do we get better. And in doing so, and you can focus on the positive because attitude affects outcome.
So I'm assuming, Derek, maybe a little extra time here for you as a staff to, go over some things and kind of review, the football that's taking place. So what are your big takeaways then of, what you've seen and what needs to get better from here?
Yeah, my big takeaways for me, in looking at where we are, we got to be, productive in the red zone. We got to give our quarterback, opportunity to push the ball down the field, man, because I believe he can. Guys got to win their one-on-ones. But, like, from a protection standpoint, you got to keep the quarterback upright. So, I mean, how are you doing it? Are you horizontally spacing the field and getting the ball out fast? Are you, working, run game with play action? Because the run game's been solid. So, do you have hardcore play action that can, push the routes down the field for him and clean up some of the reads? These are things that we've been able to, look at, work through. Fortunately for us, we've had our offensive line, our quarterbacks, and our receivers intact, and so that's been good to be able to, work on some of the timing and some of the decision making of the quarterback in critical situations. That's been good. Defensively, we've been a little light, but we've still worked on, know, fundamentals of tackling, understanding how to populate to the football and what we can do against some of the tempo looks and or moving around the numbers offensively that you're getting to create matchups. And that's been good, too. So to see what we've done and where we need to go and on offense, defense, and special teams, especially in the kicking game with some competition, has really made us a better football team. Look, I mean, you know, sometimes things happen accidentally that really benefit your team. We actually get a chance to reboot for a new season on the back end of this deal. So, you know, here we go. We've had a three-game sample. We understand where we need to go, and now what we got to do is be prepared for the long haul, taking it 1 week at a time, trying to go 1-0 every week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, Coach, thanks for taking time to take a few minutes and join us. We appreciate it.
Rob and Rex Road, man, appreciate you guys. Take care. Anchor down.
Absolutely. Going to be interesting to see how they respond. I mean, you don't ever want to have your season paused and have to separate and postpone games off, but it is kind of an interesting reset getting two consecutive weeks off. Maybe you get some guys back in, maybe you get some practice time in, and things start to go differently from there. An interesting matchup when they come back on Halloween against Ole Miss, an Ole Miss team that, you know, at times this year has looked borderline unstoppable offensively and then was just horrible against Arkansas. You don't really know what Ole Miss team you're going to get when Lane Kiffin and crew roll into town.
Yeah, it feels like it's probably true of a lot of teams, but just the wild swings, probably even more dramatic this year, you know, given just all that has gone on. I mean, this is like Derek said there, coaches, they like to control all these things, and usually there's a certain level of control that you have. And a lot of that is lost this year. So, yes, there's a lot of SEC teams that you don't know exactly what you're going to get. Now, Ole Miss has Auburn this week, too. So they're going to play a real tough game, probably real tough physical game against Auburn and come in next week. So Vanderbilt should have some freshness and have that extra time to analyze itself, too, and figure some things out.
When we come back, what's it going to take to get the Vanderbilt football program back to where the fans are? Want it to be. We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB World Series presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, catch Game 2 as the Tampa Bay Rays take on Marquise Munson's Los Angeles Dodgers. First pitch at 7:08 p.m. L.A., a 1-0 series lead so far.
Yes, they are my L.A. Dodgers.
Yes, they are.
They will forever be my L.A. Dodgers.
Speaking of L.A., Ice Cube Wicked right there. Got through a lot of that song, no bad words.
Good for you.
Brilliant. That's hard to do, find an Ice Cube song.
Yeah, it is hard to do.
Go that deep without a bad word.
Yeah, it usually is like first 10 seconds.
Yeah. First line.
Usually like the verse doesn't even start and there's a bad word in it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's good, Joe. Good on you for keeping FCC regulations on the radio.
My favorite Ice Cube album, The Predator.
Really?
Ooh.
Actually, it's just...
Again, it just it fascinates me how the two of you just know the names of all these albums. Like, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, hey, man.
That ends for me after the 90s. But
I'm a music junkie. What can I say?
You are. Man.
By the way, though, did I mention? Yeah, it is The Predator.
It's The Predator.
No, but
I doubted myself on the. I'm like, wait a minute, is it just Ice Cube Predator? But no, it's The Predator.
It's The Predator. It's Today Was a Good Day was on that album.
Oh, yeah.
On that. So, yeah.
It's front to back, great album.
See, Death Certificate's a good album, too. I like that one. But, like, America's Most Wanted is probably, especially, like, his work with Public Enemy on that album, too.
Great album, also.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
A lot of bad words. Had Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, on in the last segment. And it's interesting now, Joe, you look at, we talked about the plan trotted out there by Kansas Story Lee and the investment, first step of it, you know, getting back into the facility, improving the facility. That's obviously going to be key. Like, if the Vandy football program is ever going to get to a place where they can consistently compete, and we can talk about the different definitions of what that means in the SEC East, but if they're ever going to get to a place where you feel good about bringing in recruits and competing in the SEC, facilities are going to have to be a huge part of it. What does the Vanderbilt football program have to do to get to a place where they are consistently, you know, competing for bowl games every year?
Yeah, well,
I think the expectation, if it gets much higher than that, are you being realistic at that point?
Right. Well, so we just talked last segment about the Northwestern comparison. It's done over and over again. Gosh, I must have written this in 20 different columns. But Duke, Northwestern, Wake Forest, Stanford's a little different. But these are private schools that have figured out how to be excellent in both academics and in utilizing athletics to help. And I think that's been lost on some people at Vanderbilt, on the board, previous chancellors, whatever the case may be, that the importance of this and how it can work together, and also people in fundraising, how it can work together. And that's to me the answer. And I know that, look, I'm not saying that, people can't criticize the coaching at all. Like, you can't just give anyone a pass and just say, well, it's Vanderbilt, and right. You gotta have good coaching. You gotta be able to recruit. You gotta be able to make good decisions on game days and things like that. No doubt about it. I also think that it would be very tough at that place right now for any coach, to win, because I think what we see now is kind of the years of not investing are really showing up now. And James Franklin got that practice facility in a short period of time, and good for him. And you got to be aggressive. You got to be able to get that stuff done. But that's the answer to me, is that more of that. You got to raise money, build things. You're not gonna build anything that rivals what Tennessee and Alabama and Clemson have. But you can look at some of those other places I just mentioned. They've had some pretty major investments in football stuff, and it's really made a difference for them. So 6-6, yeah, that's probably realistic. But like Northwestern, that's probably what they are. They're a 6-7 win program. Now, they also here and there would rise up and actually compete in the Big Ten. I do think that it's a little tougher in the SEC. I think the SEC is just – it's deeper. There are more good programs in the SEC. The Big Ten has more crap programs than the SEC does, right? So 6-7 wins every year. Can you be competitive, in a lot of weeks? That's hard. I mean, if you judge these programs and you lined up all the investment of money in them, and that was your guide for how Saturdays would go, the Vanderbilt would lose 68-0 every Saturday.
Yeah.
It's not close. So that's the answer. You've got to get that momentum going with donors. And I do think that there's reason. I know anybody who says, show it to me first, show me that shovel in the ground, and then I'll listen to you. I get that. I totally get that. But I think there are some reasons right now to think that they are – well, look, I know they're trying hard. I know they want it to change. I think there's some reason to think that they might be getting closer to changing it.
And, look, a lot of people are going to point to the coaching, and they're going to point to Derek Mason specifically, and I understand that. There's a good chance – I shouldn't say good – there's a decent chance they go 0-10 this year. I mean, I think that's certainly on the table in terms of possibility. You know, what that means in terms of where they are as a program, I don't know, because if you're Vanderbilt, the non-conference scheduling is important to Vanderbilt. I think it's important to – that's usually at least 3 or 4 wins that you can count on there in a non-conference, depending on, who you've got on the table. But a lot of times, especially when James Franklin was here, and I think people forget that, James Franklin's non-conference schedule, which he had some control over but not all control over, was a little bit soft. So,
but
that's what you got to do.
I don't blame Vanderbilt for being soft there.
I don't either. So, and everybody, when you have a conversation about coaching at Vanderbilt, it always comes back to James Franklin. And I get it. They had unprecedented success here under James Franklin. I a lot of times think people forget just the perfect storm that was. Number one, I do. I think James Franklin's a very good coach. I don't want to take anything away from him. But just look at the rest of the East at the time when James Franklin was here. Tennessee was awful. Florida was down. Georgia was not the same Georgia that they are right now. It was almost a perfect storm of the time for him to come in there. So I think sometimes you get a little bit of an unrealistic bar set at that point when you start looking at the time James Franklin was here, that I just don't think is realistic now. And the other part of that is what you mentioned, Joe, the lack of investment. I think now is really starting to catch up with this program, and it's starting to really separate them from the pack in a negative way.
No, I agree. Look, any Vanderbilt fan who's not happy with Derek Mason, I understand that. I mean, because last year, I think going into last year, I would look at his tenure and say, man, it's really impressive, honestly. And still people would compare it to James Franklin. And I agree with everything you said about James Franklin there. He's a heck of a coach. A lot of things broke his way. I think if you put James Franklin here right now and said, let's see what you do over the next 5 years, he's not going to win 9 games a year, okay? Or 8 games. I guess it was 24-15, 8 games yeah. a year. It's not going to happen. But I understand, like, last year was a big disappointment on the field. When you bring back those guys and have that and you have some of the losses they had, very, very disappointing. Change coordinator. So, like, you can't use everything, like the pandemic and everything, as an excuse.
No.
You still have to do the job better than that, no doubt. But, yeah, look, I'm sorry, but this year, playing all SEC games, I never thought that there was any record this year that, like, guarantees, like, Mason is in trouble. He may be, but they can be 0-10 this year, and you could have positive signs. And that sounds absolutely ridiculous to say, but that's the reality of this program.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Doug. Hey, Doug, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexro. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, noticing the way the coronavirus has had an impact on Vanderbilt. This is my question to you guys. Will 0-10 cost Mason his job, or will the coronavirus save his job for him? Hey, he's got a scapegoat to fall back on. I'll hang up and listen.
That's a great question. I mean, look, it's a different year, and Joe, you just mentioned that a little bit. I mean, you're an all-SEC schedule. You've had COVID to deal with. Everybody's got COVID to deal with, and I understand that. But it is a different year, and there are financial incentives involved, too, when you start talking about COVID, too, which may ultimately be the biggest part of this discussion when you talk about not moving on from Derek Mason.
Yeah, I would not say it's 0%, okay, that he could be fired. I would not say that. I also would say that what does it look like? My question back is, does 0-10 look more like that game when they went to Texas A&M and almost stole it? Or does it look more like South Carolina just running up and down the field in the second half against, admittedly, that was a COVID-related roster? They lost a lot of guys, but still, that was a bad loss. I mean, are they competitive? Are they playing any good football moving forward, or is it just blowout after blowout? I mean, so 0-10 can still look a lot of different ways. Again, funny to say, but I believe it.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us. We'll break down this matchup between the Titans and the Steelers. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.